Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Sean Finnegan is joining me today. So is Fran Mirabella.
Hello,
and thank
Guardians.
You for joining all of us. We're going to talk about the weapon tuning that's happening in Destiny.
Off to a great start.
Got it. Nailed it. So, there's a bunch of little tweaks happening. And then we're going to talk about our overall impression of the April 12th update. Also, we're going to be live streaming April 12th at 10 a.m. on IGN.com. So be sure to check us out there. And of course, you can watch us on iOS, PS4, Xbox, anywhere you want. Just download the IGN app.
That's right.
Check us out there. Fran, you had a note.
I did. Last week, because we had so much to talk about, I didn't get to bring up the HUD, which is going away. And the fact that actually I was honored that Deej, you know, mentioned me on the show, because we had interviewed him in Germany asking about that. Trust me, I was not the only one that was asking, because my plasma was getting burning from that bright yellow super bar that's there all the time. It kills your television. But also just for taking photos and doing like more cinematic stuff. So it's actually exciting. Dim the HUD. You can bring it all the way off. Obviously, that introduces problems where it's telling you to do stuff and it may not be there. I didn't think about that. It's those little things that we overlook. But it was a really cool moment on the previous week's show of Bungie's stream. But the fact that they're bringing it back, I'm just excited about. And thank you for adding it, Bungie. There's more people than you know that you're making happy.
I think anybody that makes video on the internet is going to be really excited about this small tweak.
Oh, yeah. You know? Think of all the new montage work and everything on day one.
Possibly machinima work. We'll see.
Exactly. You know? It's going to be really exciting. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you.
All right. So right away, a bunch of weapons got changed.
So many weapon changes.
Let's start with you, Sean Finnegan. One of your favorite guns is getting adjusted.
I'm furious.
Let's sum up what it is, though.
All right.
So
change.
Yeah, go
no
ahead.
Damage bonus
so
is applied.
We're talking about the last word.
The last word.
I thought I said the last word. We were already yelling about it earlier.
Last word.
So basically, what they say in the 2.0. Year 2 is what they mean. We reduced the effective range of the last word, but the hip fire accuracy and damage increased, provided by the last word perk. And they're pretty strong when they work together. So hip fire thing, we all know, we've run into those people just cruising around. We call it the easy button in my clan.
Please make a gif of that.
Please make that gif.
Easy button.
All they've said basically is, I do use it all the time because it became so easy. No damage bonus is applied from the last word perk. So that's the only change, but
that's damage. That's a huge change.
Yeah, it's not as
so
OP.
What makes the last word awesome is it's this hip-fire-only close-range gun, right? You're supposed to run around with it like a six-shooter and fire it like you're a gunslinger.
You still can.
And the whole idea is that you get increased hip-fire accuracy and bonus damage from the two perks that give it the last – like that make it the last
You'll
word,
still
right?
have your hip-fire accuracy. You just can't, like – you know, two or three shot people, whatever the number
was.
Oh,
cool. That makes the whole gun, the whole reason I use it, totally useless.
Yeah, the whole reason everybody used it was because it became easy to use once you got a handle on where to aim.
Yeah, once you actually took the time to become skilled with the gun, you became good with it. What a newsflash. Like, that's so dumb. Like, I hate when people become too effective with something and then they nerf the gun as if it was the player's fault for getting good at it.
I hear you,
that's
but it's
so
not,
dumb.
It's
like,
not
I'm,
that
ugh.
Yeah, it's not that hard to become skilled with it. It means using it and oops, I was aiming with it, which actually is way harder. I didn't know if you just did that it was
another
easy.
Gif.
Yeah, I did it again. But no, legitimately, like
not at all. That is such an oversimplification of how the gun is. Like there are people who I've played with for a long time who still just can't get a handle on the last word because of whether or not they're good with hand cannons or they just can't undo the sort of like the habit of ADSing. Like it is not an easy thing to wrap your head around to not ADS with that gun and to get a handle on the range. Now I would contest I would not contest the fact that back in the Last Word and Thorn days of year one that it was overpowered, but that was because of its range. Like it was so good from the hip and so powerful that you could two-shot headshot people, but you could do it at range even, like pretty far. So they nerfed the range and I'm like, all right, that I can deal with. But now you're taking away the, again, remember when they nerfed the Wolfpack rounds on Gjallarhorn?
Yeah.
And it's
like, why?
Why would you nerf what makes that thing special? That's exactly what they're doing here. They're nerfing what makes that gun special. And now it's like, well, why would I even use it?
I couldn't disagree more.
Would you have liked it more if they just kind of damaged the DPS of the weapon because it was overpowered?
No, because here's the thing is like you really have to figure out what the problem is with that gun.
The problem is it's too effective. They need to normalize it with the rest of hand cannons. So what would be your solution, a better solution?
A better solution to nerfing the last word?
No. How
do you solve for the problem where last word is – the best gun in the game, it needs to be normalized.
It is not the best gun in the game.
I'm just curious.
It's the best gun in the game at 10 to 15 yards.
Okay. I'm very curious.
Which is so little of the game is actually played at that range.
What primaries do you use in the Crucible?
Last Word and Red Death and Mitta.
You use three exotic weapons.
Yeah.
Why don't you use any other hand cannons?
Because
they suck.
Not as effective.
They're not even nearly as effective.
I mean,
so how do you
solve people, for that? I see people using Thorn and stuff.
But so
and
isn't
it's
this
not my style.
The
I just
problem.
Can't use a year one.
And so they showed the Mita graph, the Mita graph. I was getting it wrong.
They're actually not
we'll
touching Mita multi-tool.
A little bit. We'll talk about it. But
all they're doing is changing high caliber rounds.
Yes.
But it's
mostly
damage
it's
is staying the same. Yeah.
But the point is there's people that are like using these weapons because they are the most powerful by far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome to PvP.
Okay,
like you can't just because you like a weapon doesn't mean that it should be as effective as other weapons. It's dumb. Like that's not how PvP works.
So you don't think the last word's too powerful?
I don't think the last word's too powerful. Just like I don't think that the Halo 1 pistol's too powerful. Why? Because everyone has the Halo 1 pistol.
I'm curious. Yeah. What do you think of 1,000-yard stare as a sniper?
That's a good segue to snipers, actually. So I don't want to spend the whole episode on the last word. Sean's upset
about
it. We know
how we
feel. Fran and I are kind of like, whatever, because we don't like the gun.
No,
totally
I do like the gun.
I like
don't want
too.
To be running at someone at that range that's like medium range, and it's like you just get mowed down if you do not have that gun against them. It's insane. And Doctrine suffered some of the same issues.
Which they're actually working on Doctrine. But let's talk about sniper rifles right now.
Love the gun.
They address sniper rifles a little bit. People were basically using them as a replacement for shotguns because you could zoom in and double shot anybody. So what they did is they made it so the scope zooms in more, so they're more of a long-range weapon and not a close-range. But there's one thing they didn't really address. So we know revives are going to take a little bit longer, so you can't run past somebody and revive them now. Secondarily, you're going to have less of an overshield, so it kind of
for resurrection.
For resurrection,
like on resurrection, you mean?
But yes, on resurrection, but. They didn't fix res sniping. As a matter of fact, they made res sniping
more
effective because more sniper rifles can do it now. It's not just 1,000-yard stare.
Plus, they have lower overshield, which means the snipers that did low impact in the first place can still probably
have a greater chance to one-shot. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Res sniping, it's a problem with the animation. Your animation in is like, I know where their head's going
to
be.
Here's the thing is like, why does it have to take so long to animate?
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, oh, I'm coming in. I've landed. High sniper, dead. And it's seriously like about a second and a half, which even for a bad sniper like me, I'm like, bang, you're dead. Yeah. You know, like I have all the time in the world to drop that player who just got res.
I do think it takes skill, especially in the clutch of trials. However, I hate res sniping. Most people know that. I've talked about it enough. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. It's like they ignored all of that. And they made it even more available to people now.
Yeah.
They were like, people are complaining about res sniping. We must, like, balance it. And then they totally balance it in the wrong direction.
And I thought that's...
Everyone can res snipe.
Yeah. I did.
People love res sniping, right?
And that's what was interesting. Your suggestion is more what I was thinking. It's like, okay, I get that, like, you got to bring someone out of...
Yeah.
You have to resurrect them. And so there's a moment...
It should be a two-shot.
But there's a moment of vulnerability. But see, but how does that work? Because, right, you have to balance it in a way that, like, you're also... I guess the point is, the more they
you can one-shot anybody without an overshield, basically. That should stay standard. But for res, if you were just res, you need two shots. Give them, like, because of the animation problem, give them 3 seconds where it takes two shots to kill that person. So I have a chance to survive.
So here's the thing. I still think you should be able to one-shot. I still think you should be able to one-shot someone on res. Mm-hmm. I just think that... they should have a much smaller window to do it. Like, if you just increase the animation.
Like, pop, go.
Yeah, if you just increase the animation by 50% in speed, it would be so much harder to one-shot people because people are already, like, countering it by bumping people after their res. So that it just, like, knocks people's aim off just by a fraction.
How do we counter res sniping? Titan charge my teammate.
Yeah, happened just a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. But, like, I still think you should be able to reward players who are good enough to land that shot. It's just right now the skill shot isn't high enough. Mm-hmm. Like, it's too easy.
It is, yeah. It's super slow, and you stick, like, right at that frame at the top. There's that sticking point.
Yeah, you're
and like, that's like you can't even do anything. Yeah.
So
they're like, well, I'm dead.
But
dead
remember,
again.
There's so many little things that go into this. If they change that, well, how about up close? You know, like, how do you the fact that people are dying, I mean, it needs to be hard enough.
Just let me move. The moment that I
– but if they can get up faster when they're up close, they're less punished for dying. And so that's that balance they're trying to keep, right, with these slower animations.
But that's fine. If you're up close, what are you going to do? Shotgun someone and that other teammate's already there.
Range. You have more bullets that are going to now
like, – even res bang immediately.
But even being in close vicinity with another person, that already changes the mechanics, right? Because that person's being res by his teammate. So if your plan is to one-shot the reser, you still have to fight a 1v2.
And I agree with that.
Which is not how it is with a sniper. Yeah.
And I agree with you on that. I'm just saying there's all these little things, you know, in the same way. Like I forgot if you take away the HUD, it's telling you to do stuff on screen.
Yeah.
I only wanted to dim it.
That's your own damn fault. Like if you turn off the HUD and the HUD's telling you something, you're like, well, I didn't know. It's because you turn off the HUD, you moron.
Yeah, I was just trying to use an example. There's always little things that you don't think about. But either way, what they've done, right, is they have, with reses, by the way, let's just go through the list really fast. They've reduced the interactive radius, right? So you have to be closer to do the res.
So if you have the quick res helmet, you can't run past and res somebody. You have to stop for a moment.
Which is awesome that they fixed that.
But with the run cooldown stupid thing, you're going to have to walk up, start the res, then start running away.
No.
There's a good chance you might one shot too.
That run cooldown is so dumb and they need to get rid of it.
I can't tell you how much, like, that is one of the huge improvements in Halo versus Destiny. Is like, there's no run cooldown. I can just sprint, stop, sprint, stop, sprint, stop.
It is annoying. I hate it as well.
Like, why?
I don't know.
Why is it there?
Yeah. I can run for 14 days straight, but if I stop, I need to catch my breath. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
They have increased the base time of resurrect, so increased it by 0.25 seconds. So it's interesting that the base time is a little faster, but you have to be closer.
No, they increased.
Increased the base time by 0.25 seconds.
So it's longer.
The time is by that's right.
Yeah,
I knew
backwards.
That. It's been a long day.
It's Friday.
Reprioritize the overshield so it takes precision damage modifiers. Previously it did not, which allows more sniper archetypes to get res kills. Yeah, so they recognize that.
Combined with the decreased overshield on res, which means now all snipers can one-shot you.
Yep, so that it takes, precision damage.
I hope my extra solar
modifiers.
Can. I like it because I'm not very accurate, but I can two-shot anybody. So,
What they were saying about that is only a few PvE combatants deal precision damage in PvE. So aside from those exceptions, this only will affect PvP. Last few things, adjust resurrection invincibility frames so that the moment a player can move and take damage are more consistent in most networking conditions. So this obviously is a commentary on like what's going on with lag and all that. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see if that has any improvement. I mean, this is where we kind of do need to play it before we make a full commentary.
They have to know about this resurrection animation thing being a problem, and I'm going to be really curious. They're not going to address it in Destiny 1, but in Destiny 2, they're going to do something about it, yeah. I think. There's no way they'd leave it, right? Yeah.
So crazier we'll things have happened, right?
Yeah. And the very last thing was, yeah, for the exotic resurrection time, you know, Crest of Alpha Loopy yeah. and Lypion Nemesis, they've brought it down from 40%.
Increased by 57%. Just kidding.
It's brought down from 40% yeah. to 30%. So a slight reduction.
You can't run by it
in the time, the resurrection yeah. time. But that's the distance.
It's still
so this
fast.
Is actually just a little
you
slower.
Can't literally run past somebody and res them, which was the whole reason you wore that helmet. Now you have to like run, stop, and then go, which is going to be a pain, especially for PvE. Like when you're in the raid and stuff, that was a really nice perk to have. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to take that out, take out the sprint cooldown, whatever that is. Everybody hates the sprint cooldown.
Also, no more exotics. How about that, Bungie? Like,
getting what?
Why not yeah. just
exotics
like,
are too good. Just get rid of them.
Yeah, no. like just all the weapons war- that have something special. Maybe we just kind of get rid of them.
Stop it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Anytime they touch a favorite exotic of mine,
I don't know. I don't mind
really
weapon
me.
Balancing, but I think there's a huge problem when you have to independently tune weapons within a sandbox for PvE and PvP. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's so dumb. Like. We're talking about Thorn. Like Thorn was also patched.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this? Like what changed?
Briefly.
We're still coming up.
So like you can't three body shot anybody anymore. Basically, it does less damage over time mm-hmm. for a shorter period of time, and it marks a little bit less.
Yep.
Right.
So, yeah. So you can't follow their little damage trail as much. Yeah. And it used to tick six times, and now it's down to four.
So
a little less damage.
This is something that they already nerfed from year one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're now in year two. And it's still a year one weapon, and they're still independently fine-tuning this weapon. That shows that you messed up the weapon somehow. Like
maybe they're going to bring it back.
And I think you have a point. Like it was fine in PvE, but not so fine in PvP.
Yeah.
Right?
They did address why they do weapons across the board, not just PvE and PvP. They mentioned that on the stream.
Yeah, they really just want to keep the – and I agree. Mm-hmm. Like, look, this is where game design, it's never as easy as you think it is on the other side. But like, there's a language you understand mechanically when you throw a grenade. And if it behaves differently in two different environments, yes, it can be done. But it is asking a lot from players. And you know what I mean? It's asking to adapt to higher levels of play. Which I think some people are totally down for, but they're also, you know, it's a tough choice, right?
It's the same grenade, though. Like, there's no logical reason it should function any differently without breaking the narrative.
No, but to use the example, if whatever, the distance that you can throw a grenade in PvP is different than in PvE, it changes your understanding of how far you're going to chuck this thing.
Totally, but do you understand, like, why that would be such a stupid thing to implement?
To do what?
To make it different, like why in what reality, other than the necessity of game design, would you say that you can throw a grenade further in PvP, but the same Guardian and the same grenade throw it less?
That's the point. That's what they're saying.
Yeah,
they don't want Thorn to behave differently in PvE versus PvP.
Right.
I thought that's what you were saying.
That is what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you were.
Weapons and grenades should not be independently balanced in PvP
and
PvE.
They're not.
We're dangerously close to that.
But they specifically said they are not doing it. Sorry, I thought you literally were saying you wanted them to change PvP because it's different and change the weapon behavior.
No.
That's what it sounded like you were saying, right? Destin, I'm not alone on that.
Yeah. I think I miscommunicated what they were doing.
Gotcha.
If they balance it in PvP, it changes in PvE. So what you want
I'm
is
not
happy
saying
changing.
That's not what I didn't interpret it like that. My point was that I think that it's a problem that that's what people are asking for in order to make weapons balance for PvP. I think that shows a design philosophy. I think that shows that your design philosophy for the gun, if that's the only way you can fix it, not that that's what they're doing, but if that's the only way you can fix it, then that shows that there's a problem with the gun, like inherently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's weird that it just happens to be Thorn, which is a year one gun. And I get it. Guns are
like,
PvE, like
we used
normalized
it in Crimson
PvP.
Doubles, but
we get it, Sean. You love every OP hand cannon. I understand.
No,
they've actually brought Hawkmoon back into the mix, which
it's
I am
so
very
because
happy
it's like,
about.
I don't know. I just don't think that. I think people are too quick to designate something as OP just because someone's good with it.
Speaking of hand cannons that are going to be OP, Drake's Promise looks like a beast.
Yeah. Well, a sidearm, but
yeah,
it's it looks like one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And might behave like one. I think that's what getting
it
at.
It looks really, really good.
Yeah, people are now thinking like, okay, I'm going to go hand cannon, Dredge Promise. They've increased the projectiles track more aggressively. Mm-hmm. On fire, the targeting locks onto the enemy in your reticle. There's no beep, they mentioned. You're not going to get an assistance with a sound. And the damage has been reduced 40%.
Oof.
And the rate of fire reduced to compensate. So it tracks better, but there is some damage change. Damage fall-off has also been reduced to match the sidearm archetype. Mm-hmm. Range.
But, it looks good. So that was a
everyone
gun that –
everyone thought it looked good. That was
everybody's
what people
like, ooh,
about.
That looks really interesting. And then
– nobody used it really. So
yeah, so now people might use it. Another archetype that's getting a massive overhaul, and I think they're going to become the king in the Crucible, and that is fusions. Fusion rifles.
Oh, I hope you're right.
They're going to be more stable, you know. So if you got a good charge rate, that person's dead.
Yeah.
You know.
The changes specifically are fusion rifles are more stable across the board.
Yeah.
The maximum stability for a fusion rifle has not changed much, but the baseline minimum stability is much stronger. 40% recoil reduction. Yeah,
wow.
That recoil was really bad in year two. It actually – like I'm a huge fan. Mm-hmm. Our video guy CJ is a huge fan. You couldn't even use Plan C anymore, hardly. And they say they linearly ramp up from there, that 40% recoil reduction. And then lastly, they fixed a bug where some outlying fusion rifle scopes had unintended increased zoom that was removed in year two.
You're going to see a lot more fusion rifles, and the Crucible is basically the end of that story.
My favorite PvP type of weapon.
You like
it's
watching
so
people
much fun.
Disintegrate?
Oh, I love the animation. I love the charge up, the sound. Mm-hmm. It's such a cool weapon, especially for this world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a gun from, you know, the 1800s, so to speak, like the last word that, you know, meaning I love that. But in this world, like these fusions are very unique. And I love them. I've loved them from the outset, but I had to stop using them other than my Ash Raven's flight, which is from Iron Banner. If you get, you really are going to still need the brace frame on any fusion rifle you get, but if you get brace frame now, especially, you have more chance than ever. And they actually don't mention it in here, and maybe it comes from the stability change, but the beams, there was like whatever five or six that kind of the grouping, they really sucked as you were turning.
Yeah.
And it would the spread became really just a pain in the neck to use, really hard to predict, but it really looks like that's been fixed. So
yeah,
they're back as far as I can tell, so I'm super excited.
Sean,
any changes on the range for fusion rifles?
Not really. I mean, it'll be based on weapon.
Because I really think range is what made
them
not that effective.
The stability will make them better at range. You know, so you're going to be able to hit somebody from further away with more shots because it's going to be more stable.
Yeah.
They comment on that, right? Mm-hmm. They are optimal at mid-range where targets are easier to track, but they're not close enough to attack while charging up, and that's the balance.
What's that AR they're changing also?
The Suros?
Not the Suros. Suros might be my new main. They're changing Doctrine, and Suros is getting a buff almost.
Right.
Just Suros?
Well, specifically, actually, auto rifle changes are pretty short. Mm-hmm. So for high rate of fire weapons, auto rifles, Doctrine of Passing and the Arminius D, if you remember, have a 2.5% reduction in base damage. So it hopefully brings that, you know, bullet hose, they call it, down just a little bit because it was brutal close up.
Trials AR isn't going to be the king of ARs anymore.
Yeah, I had two trials or three.
It's going to be more in line with Suros.
The king of ARs.
Right now.
Oh, Doctrine is the king
of
ARs.
No, I just think that that's such a funny thing to say because who uses AR?
It's
everyone
Doctrine.
Uses Doctrine.
Doctrine's like king in Crucible right now. Doctrine and Mida.
You're so on last word, dude.
Doctrine and Mida.
PS4 players, man. It's different over on Xbox.
Doctrine and Mida, dude.
Doctrine is a beast. Yeah. Anyway, it had to be nerfed. It was in the same way that last word was too powerful. It had to be brought down. It's 2.5% reduction, so we'll see. It's still powerful. That's high rate of fire. On the low rate of fire, Suros Regime, an answering chord, Anguish of Dristan, which is the you know, the King's Fall raid drop, it's a 2.3% increase in base damage. Because, if you use those, they just were not doing the job. So hopefully, you know, autos are just getting a little more tuned, not massive changes. But I like using auto rifles. I think they're
– Good, I do. They're still my favorite
weapon
type.
For everybody.
I think it's going to be Suros whatever legendary fusion comes out on top will be in your weapon archetype. So you're still going to have a sniper, but fusions are going to be a viable secondary.
But that's special. You're special.
Yeah, special. And for heavy, machine guns are still going to be great. As a matter of fact, the Raid machine gun is getting faster reload.
Quillums.
Yeah, the Quillum's getting faster reload and more stability.
They nerfed the mag, though, because people were going on
more stability on Quillums? That thing was already so stable.
That's fine. I already used Runewake, and it's a frickin' beast.
Yeah,
so,
Runewake's crazy. Yeah.
Heavies are awesome if you know how to use them. The issue is that people would get so much in the mag of a gun like Quillum's, and they would be on a tear for like 5 minutes because it was so powerful at range. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're fixing. Like, honestly, it was way too – it was crazy if you could stay alive with one.
They massively changed Warlocks. We're down in the last 10 minutes of the show, so I definitely want to talk about Warlock changes.
Real quick, though.
Basically, you can't pop Lightning and just use it for the whole game anymore, Fran. Sorry.
Yeah, the Storm Trance. Yeah. No, I actually didn't use Storm Trance in PvP. I didn't use it. I loved
it's
it
like once
PvP.
You pop it, it's like, well, the game's over because that Warlock can't be killed.
It was Transcendence linked with something else. I think those were the names. And when you linked all that up, you literally – that's when you saw those like Warlocks just like – and you'd die. You'd get killed again. You'd be like, they're still going? This is insane. It was way too long. So they fixed that. They've also fixed the landfall effect, which – landfall's still there, and you have to wear the impossible machines, the exotic, to get that. But it was blinding you like completely in a group when they dropped it, and it was way too powerful on impact. So you had like – it was just way too OP. So they fixed those two things. I think those were smart. They did not fix
– Firebolt.
Firebolt plus Viking Funeral, and that's that additional burn similar to the Thorn problem. And they talked about how –
a little bit less
of
an overshield on punchies.
Yeah, and Flame Shield is not – you can't get it as frequently, I believe. But yeah, you're not going to be able to get Flame Shield as much to get you out of trouble, which, by the way, I used to use all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in trouble,
that's the most annoying thing ever.
That's basically how it use my Warlock. Ah, punch you, grenade. Yeah, okay, totally. I missed that, I'll shoot.
Yeah. And they were too OP, but they actually, I think they're admitting Viking Funeral and Firebolt, which, by the way, if you wear the Void Fang, the exotic chest piece that gives you a new grenade after each death, it's crazy. Teams of Warlocks can still come in with 3 Firebolts and hit. One, I mean, you're down just with a quick toss. And if they die, they can come right back at you.
Yeah.
And that is still going to be there. But hopefully the Flame Shield balances and some of this other stuff. Yeah. It won't be terrible. Don't do that. That's as bad as Bubble Brothers, by the way. Don't be Viking Funeral Bros.
Oh, and you can't pop Titan stats. Bubbles now with Lightning.
Oh, yeah. That was also a thing you can't pop.
Yeah, so that's great. So, just one less way to deal with Bubble Bros. Yeah.
So in these, I was surprised.
Bubble's always been underpowered, though, in PvP.
Yeah, I mean, it's a way to cap a point, really, you know, or just protect your
team.
It's
awesome in, you know, like Iron Banner Control and, you know, others. Like, it really is OP in certain modes. Trials, if you
trials,
use, like, say, 3 of them.
It's so, I mean, crazy. I'd say it's a stretch. To call it good, I'd say it's situationally like applicable, like you said, capping a point or
control.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's honestly, it's very OP in control. If a team has a bubble, like, and you don't,
problem,
you're in big trouble.
The problem is, like, it generates on popping a bubble, you generate 2 orbs. Mm-hmm. Warlocks, like with their Sunsinger, can generate up to 8. Same with hunters. Like,
well, if people shoot your bubble, though, you generate more.
Sunsinger takes a
if
while.
If you have something specced, if you have Iron Harvest. Yeah. But that's not – most people don't use that because you'd use Warden of Dawn, which increases the duration. Yeah. It's just – I don't
know. It's situational,
like
you said.
It's super situational.
Let's talk about this, though. Why didn't – you guys, I'm curious to see how you react. Why did Shade Step not get touched and fixed?
Oh, my God.
And why did the Shoulder Titan Charge not get fixed? I hate that thing so much. It's insanely powerful.
Shoulder Charge.
You literally see any noob just – they're placing a bat and like – and they're rolling with a shoddy too,
jump.
By the way. Shocker.
Shade Step's ridiculous. People are just like jumping all over the place. It's almost as bad as Blink.
Yeah. Shade Step because you're immune in those frames. Mm-hmm. And then there's still that bug where if you tap on PlayStation 4, the touchpad in the middle of it, you can get out of it. So you don't have to do the full
animation. Now we're seeing Titans with that exotic kind of do the same thing where they jump literally side to side. They strafe, basically. Yeah. I don't remember the name of the
exotic. I was surprised that Warlocks kind of got a brunt. Here's my guess. They don't want to touch too much at once. And in the spirit of testing things, I'm sure they were like, we really should fix it. But you know what? Let's not – because once you change too much at once, right, your experiment of what's changing things is sort of ruined. You don't know what
you have no more control group.
So my guess is, they are changing one class. It's the first class because it was the most talked – Storm Trance, honestly, if I had
it
to
was
choose,
bad.
Definitely the best one to start with. I couldn't agree.
Yeah.
But they need to work on this other stuff, absolutely.
So finally, I just want to talk about this in the last 5 minutes of the show. our overall take on the April update coming on the 12th. We're getting two strikes, the Prison of Elders update, and a new pass, the 335 light. What's our overall take? Fran, it looks like you have one more note.
I know that was a good, perfect segue, Destin. But yeah. We should mention, actually, I was remembering with Icebreaker and the sidearm changes. Those are huge. So using Icebreaker or sidearms to charge up your ammo reserves for other weapons was not intended.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to be able to do that anymore, basically. Mm-hmm. So that was all. And then they touched Icebreaker up a little bit, so it's not going to be as crazy as it was. In fact, the change was, that they're increasing the zoom more, right, which they're doing on all snipers to make it you have to be more long range. They're reducing the handling stat to the lowest value for sniper rifles for Icebreaker. And they reduced the target acquisition by 25%. That's actually really big. And that's what I was just talking about. They call it death swapping in PvP. No longer allows ammo to persist between those two, which is awesome.
Is that only Icebreaker for the death swapping?
Oh, and we missed – sorry. This is what I was getting at. We missed the fact that the whole first round special's not there is totally – you have special now. But they've reduced the amount in certain mags. They've changed this that you're not swapping on death. So it's just – there's going to be special. There's going to be less ammo crates. And that was the same for heavy there's one heavy around now.
Is that for all special ammo? Like, if I die, if I go into a match and I have a sniper, I'm like, oh, this is a shotgun map. If I die and I switch to shotgun, I just have no ammo?
Can I just swap and retain my ammo? So that, I'm not sure, when it's the same, archetype, you mean?
Like, if I just have a sniper archetype equipped and I'm like, oh, this is a shotgun map, so I switch to my shotgun, do I lose all my ammo now no matter when I do it?
I don't know how that
was actually that was actually really nice because I got my special. Oh man, this is a shotgun map. My bad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's put it that way. We know still, right? If you swapped weapon types while you were alive, you'd lose your ammo.
It's just gone.
And so my guess is, it's going to behave that way on death now.
Well, that sucks.
It does suck, but bigger than that, if you can do
prepped, I guess.
If you can do it in death, why can you not just do it while you're out in the field, right?
Yeah, that was a design philosophy from Vanilla, though. Vanilla Destiny, year one, they're like, oh, we don't want you hiding behind a rock and switching your weapons.
It is confirmed here, actually, Swapping special weapons in PvP now completely removes special ammo until more is found on the map.
That's
a risk you take.
You got to go in prepped.
Yeah, make sure you're on the right gun.
What about those multiplayer matches where you fly in and you're like, I don't know what map this is. And then you're in and you're like, well, I have my special, but it's sniper and this is a close quarters.
I cannot agree more.
Yeah. Just let me switch my weapon. Who cares?
To be fair, though, they don't say for sure on death that between the same archetypes or whatever.
What
but in
the
general,
big
they
deal?
Say if you switch, you're in trouble.
I don't get – maybe you guys can enlighten me.
What is the deal with that?
Why is it such a problem – that if I go in with a sniper and I want to use a shotgun instead, if I switch, who cares?
I'm sure – I think they're trying to control people creating combo type play maybe, right?
If I have to go in my menu and you go into your menu, you're vulnerable.
It's not an easy thing.
But the point is, I think they're saying
if you
are a sniper and you're sniping but you want to – I don't know.
They don't want you hopping in your menus
fair,
over and over
I don't
again.
Understand it. I'm just trying to understand, take a guess.
I feel like I would prefer you could.
We spent a lot of time on this. I just want to get your guys' take before we have to go. What do you think overall of the update?
I think it's cool.
Sorry,
you're not interrupting at all. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. I mean, I like that it's giving us a lot to talk about. I love these periods in Destiny when a bunch of stuff gets changed and now you have to go back into the same sandbox with your friends and figure out what is effective and what is not. I love that. And just the fact that we've had this spirited debate amongst ourselves right here on the show shows enough has changed to where people are going to have to refigure things out and figure out what the most efficient way forward is. So that's super cool. Time will tell if it's enough to get us through all the way to September or whenever they decide to do the big DLC.
It's a month. It's a month of content. But one thing that I've been doing that's been kind of fun is a few days ago, I popped on my year one Iron Banner full set.
Nice.
And I used all my year one favorite weapons Praetus and Gjallarhorn and stuff. And we went into year one PvP maps. And me and a few of my friends, we were just wrecking people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, happy birthday, Gilligan, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gilligan the Rex?
Yeah.
Very nice. She's someone that we play with sometimes. So I'm trying to think what I'm going to respond to this. So stuff I like, Yes, I like that they're actually rebalancing things and changing things. There's people who say, don't change things. Don't touch it. If it's not broken, don't fix it. Well, it is broken. It's always going to be broken. It's hard to balance this many things. But, yeah, it could be totally busted. We had the same conversation before year two. Like, oh, what's this going to mean? But I like that it's changing. It makes us go back and play and figure things out. I do like that. That's a good point, Sean.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah, you can now infuse, and there's no more of this crazy math.
I like to bring back year one weapons. I think some of those might be interesting in the Crucible.
I like that. Smart loot, I believe, is dropping at the level or above that you're at, so you're not going to run into any more of this low-level drop stuff. Like, it will only push you up. So they really have thought about light level.
I like the infusion. That's a big improvement.
I like that you triggered my thought, which is like, oh, I can actually now really, I think, go back and wear, well, if it's in year two, but I can put together an ensemble that I want to use very easily without, I need to find another chess piece, this or that. It's like, you know what, I'm going to swap and get rid of my old one. Yeah. So I think you're going to find a lot better looking or more put together characters. Like, it was a hodgepodge because of the way it was set up.
I have all raid gear because that's us 320 and I only have one, so I don't want to infuse.
And obviously, you know, I like that there is actually new, like, year one weaponry being brought back, et cetera, et cetera. And the short list of what I don't like is, I mean, the vault is just, I don't know.
More vault
space.
It's like,
wait, you could have always added a third page, basically, and you didn't. Something's going on here.
Just make a page with legendaries that you can buy for Glimmer.
Yeah, blueprints or whatever.
Blueprints.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
I don't get it. So
you've done it with everything else in the game, basically. Like, I don't understand what the holdup is, really. I'd love to hear that answer.
It is one of the biggest problems. I waste so much time managing Vault and Postmaster. It's insane. Mm-hmm. It's really stupid, and I hate that they have not addressed that at all.
And if it's too many weapons, at least just do raid gear.
Yeah. And other than that, I don't like that there just doesn't seem right now that there's enough content behind – other than, like, this Prison of Elders and Challenge of Elders mode. Yeah. Like,
the strikes will be fun the first time I play through them, and then I've done them.
But it's not like there's, all these new weapons and strikes. Yeah. There's, like, a couple strikes and, like, this new Taken. So really turning some of these bosses you've already faced in the Taken. It's an old gameplay design trick. And so – it's going to be fun for about a month. Fun. I do. Lots to figure out, lots to do if you play Destiny. Mm-hmm. You're going to burn through the content pretty fast, and now you're left chasing weapons. That's really – or gear. It's really the main reason that people continue to play. You want to collect everything. You want to get Shadow Price back or whatever. Is Shadow Price coming back? Yeah. So stuff like that. It's like, I never got Shadow Price. Now I'm going to be chasing it.
I still have my year one version, which you can delete because
– But I'm going to be playing the same stuff over and over, right? And that's where it becomes a grind. Yeah. So unfortunately, I think that's going to be mostly it until September. Yeah. Maybe get a few SRL maps, maybe some slight tweaks.
That would be great.
We will.
SRL.
We know that we will. SRL. Yeah. So
I like SRL.
Me too. So they're holding on to some of that, but it really is the most substantial update we've had in year two. It really is when you think about it. So I'm happy with that.
That's our take. You're going to find out more on April 12th when we start streaming on IGN.com live, 10 a.m. Pacific. Be sure to tune in if you like Destiny, of course.
Why are you still listening if you don't like Destiny? I was just tell us if you're listening now and you actually hate the game.
People who hate this game still listen to this show?
Exactly.
People still play this game?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for coming on the show yet again, you guys. I'm glad you're all still play.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
We're looking forward to April 12th.
Yeah, and go read the tuning updates. You saw us trying to cram in all the details. Yeah. There's so much
changing. A ton of info.
But actually, if you're not that big of a nerd, just go play the game and start using the weapons again when it's out April 12th. So.
Yeah, definitely.
And better yet, go try Last Word before they nerf it and tell me it's not hard to use. It's hard to use.
Yeah. All right. That's it for this show. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.